veins. I've been driving this train, years in this lane. There's no stopping this flame, cause I came to the game and I changed it to play how I like, rearranged it to my own domain. Yeah, I got what it takes, made lots of mistakes, taking shots, skipping breaks, feeling lost, feeling great, popping off, singing straight, never stopped, never changed. All the squad here to play, and I've got something to say, yeah. I work hard each and every day, I get lost in the words I say. I don't push pause, no, I push play. I won't stop till I make a change. I withdraw on the things I make. I turn flaws into flawless traits. I build tall, never capping space. I won't stop till I hear him say,
all right, everyone, this is Dr. Imfan Akpan. I am excited to be here with you. Thank you for joining on all of the platforms. All of the platforms, YouTube, TikTok, the podcast. Really appreciate that support. And make sure that you're clicking like, you click subscribe, leave a comment. Love to get your comments and know what you think. This, you know, I want to tell you, since the launch of ChatGPT 3, and you know, you've got OpenAI, we've had Bard, we've got Claude. This has just been an exciting time. I have to say that it's been a very exciting time, specifically for me, because of just all of the changes. So it can be frustrating, because just as soon as you settle in, there's something else that's coming up, coming out. At the end of the day, I just appreciate that I'm here at this time and I'm able to experience it. So I just want to take a moment and say that. The other thing is, normally, I got to tell you, I am one who loves to study the business backstories. So I like to hear the drama. This is the only way I can say it. I like to know about the drama that goes on between CEOs and companies and the competition. So all of those stories, I really enjoy that. I'm a big fan of Business Wars. If anybody's, it's a Wondery podcast. I love listening to that. So I enjoy that. So this week I had to do it. I had to talk about the emails that were posted on OpenAI's blog in response to Elon Musk's lawsuit. So I thought this was very interesting to see that they posted the emails, number one, and it was there. However, what I think my big takeaway, and I guess the through line of all of this, is that the relationships. So reading the content, and we're going to go over it, we're going to look at it, but reading the content of the emails, that's interesting. However, what I'm more interested in is who's on those emails, who's in the discussion, and you know, who's connected to who and who's talking to who. So I think that's very interesting, because regardless, in business, in life, I'm a firm believer, you don't move forward without relationships, and they're very important. So let's take a look at this. I thought this was really exciting. So I'm going to share my screen, and we're going to go to the OpenAI blog. So if you go here, and take a moment if you haven't already. There's a lot of interesting things on the OpenAI blog. So they have different updates and a lot of information here. But if you notice, on March 5th, there's this OpenAI and Elon Musk. So when you go to the blog, it's titled OpenAI and Elon Musk. And again, the names. So we've got the authors, Greg Brockman, Ilya Sutskever, John Shulman, Sam Altman, Wojciech Zaremba, and then you've got OpenAI. So this goes into the mission of OpenAI and, again, that focus on artificial general intelligence. And it says, we're now sharing what we've learned about achieving our mission and some facts about our relationship with Elon. We intend to move to dismiss all of Elon's claims. So this is, as they say, the clap back to Elon's lawsuit. And this is amazing. So they talk about building AGI, artificial general intelligence, will require far more resources than they've initially imagined. So he talked about Elon announcing $1 billion funding commitment. And then it said that the nonprofit raised less than $45 million from Elon and more than $90 million from other donors. So that's kind of saying that Elon did not put in the lion's share of funding. So they talk about the discussion between Greg and Sam. So it's giving context all the way back in 2015 about being a bigger number than 100 million. And Elon saying that they should start with $1 billion in funding. So they're building up the suspense so that they'll cover this later on. So I thought this was interesting. And again, they talk about really, and I think this is great. So we know exactly where all of this is going and where it's been. The trajectory is for AGI, which many believe will automatically produce super artificial intelligence. So once you have artificial general intelligence, then you have this super artificial intelligence afterwards, directly afterwards. So they talk about cost, and so they give the context about we and Elon recognized a for-profit entity would be necessary to acquire the resources. So they needed to require money. It costs money to move this thing forward. And they also threw out there that Elon wanted to merge with Tesla, as they're saying, or he wanted full control. So this is very interesting. And then it goes to where Elon chose to leave OpenAI. And then now you see where they talk about advancing the mission by building widely available beneficial tools. We got that. So he gives some examples. And now this was interesting. So as Ilya Sutskever told Elon, as we get closer to building AI, it will make sense to start being less open. The open and open AI means that everyone should benefit from the fruits of AI after it's built. But it's totally okay to not share the science. And it said, Elon replied, yup. So this is, you know, very interesting. And so I like this comment. We're sad that it's come to this with someone whom we deeply admired, someone who inspired us to aim higher, then told us we would fail, started a competitor, and then sued us when we started making meaningful progress towards OpenAI's mission without them. So that's kind of saying that Elon is kind of not liking what's happening. You know, so they're saying that he was pushing them forward, encouraging them, and then, you know, he's got Grok, and then now he's suing them. So it's kind of sour apples, as you would say. So when you go down to these emails, and this is from 2015, this is interesting. And these are emails coming from Elon to Greg Brockman copying Sam Altman. I always find that interesting to see these emails. So, and this is interesting. So he talks about the blog, Y Combinator, and then a bit more to the general public. There's a lot of value to having the public root for us to succeed, and then having a longer, more detailed and inside baseball version for recruiting with a link to it at the end of the general public version. And then he talks about that going bigger than 100 million, going to a $1 billion funding commitment. And he said, I will cover whatever else, whatever anyone else doesn't provide. So that's it. That's interesting. So then you got another email again. Now this is from Elon to Ilya Sutskever, Greg Brockman, top AI institutions today. So they kind of scratched out. Tesla is the only path that could even hope to hold a candle to Google. Even then, the probability of being a counterweight to Google is small. It just isn't zero. So this is interesting. And now we look at it now where we see ChatGPT and then the progression of Google, which is a behemoth, if you think about it. Google starting out with Bard. Now they have Gemini Pro. And everyone's waiting for the release of Gemini Ultra, and we're yet to see that. And then now, just this week, Anthropic has it to, with their Claude 3, to surpass ChatGPT-4. So this is interesting. So you're seeing at this time, Google was seen as the unstoppable behemoth. And so you got another email from someone to Elon Musk, and then they're talking about AI being very expensive, and then you get back into DeepMind, Google Brain, research and cloud, and TensorFlow. So, so they hold their own AI conferences. And then here's a mention of AGI. So the compute horsepower will be necessary, possibly even sufficient to reach AGI. Wow. So the core algorithms we use today remain largely unchanged from the 90s. Not only that, but any algorithmic advances published in a paper somewhere can be almost immediately re-implemented and incorporated. Conversely, algorithmic advances alone are inert without the scale to also make them scarce. So that's interesting. And then it talks about OpenAI today is burning cash. And then it was saying it's burning cash and cannot reach the scale to seriously compete with Google at 800. So they were saying Google is the giant. And this is amazing because if you think about it now, OpenAI is the giant. Of course, they're partnered with Microsoft, another giant. But you think about it, Google was the one. You know, it's, if you give a Star Wars analogy, you think about Anakin was the chosen one. So it seems like Google was the chosen one. And and somehow they took a really wrong path. Took a wrong path. So let's look at this. A for-profit pivot might create a more sustainable revenue stream over time and would, with the current team, likely bring a lot of investment. However, building out a product from scratch would steal focus from AI research. It would take a long time. It is unclear if a company could catch up to Google scale. Look at that. So this is amazing. We're still talking about Google, and the investors might exert too much pressure in the wrong directions. The most promising option I can think of, as I mentioned earlier, would be for OpenAI to attach to Tesla as its cash. So in this case, Tesla would be funding OpenAI. So now we see open the cash cow for OpenAI. Now this is Microsoft. I believe attachments to other large suspects, example, Apple, Amazon, would fail due to an incompatible company DNA, using a rocket analogy. Tesla already built the first stage of the rocket with a whole supply chain of Model 3 and its onboard computer and a persistent internet connection. The second stage would be a full self-driving solution based on large-scale neural network training, which OpenAI expertise could see. So there is a synergy here. So this, you know, they mentioned earlier about control, but the idea was there was a synergy with the OpenAI model and then Tesla with the self-driving portion. So the second stage would be full self-driving solution based on large-scale neural network training, which OpenAI, so based on the OpenAI value, it could help accelerate the self-driving. So now you think about right now with vision. So we're seeing that with vision. So this is interesting. With a functioning full self-driving solution, 2 or 3 years, we could sell a lot of cars, trucks. If we do this really well, the transportation industry is large enough that we can increase Tesla's market cap to a high, okay, and use that revenue to fund the AI work at an appropriate scale. I cannot see anything else has the potential to reach sustainable Google scale capital. So he was saying the synergies with Tesla, build up Tesla, let Tesla help fund, first of all, using OpenAI's technology to help push Tesla's efforts for self-driving forward, and then they can make the money and then take that money and then reinvest it in the AI efforts towards the AGI. So he was finding, really, you think about it, that was a win-win situation he was looking for. However, it did lean more towards the focus on building up to, hey, let's get Tesla self-driving first. Then we'll take that value and then we'll put it into the AI project. So I can see how it's focused on the Tesla. However, it was a win-win situation. Now, what's interesting is you see Amazon is invested in Anthropic with Claude. And now you've got Apple building out their own AI. So this is what I mean by the drama and the backstory. So it is very interesting. Now you've got another email from Elon to Ilya Sutskever and Greg Brockman copying Sam Altman on this. This is very interesting. Again, they're talking about it. Probability of it succeeding is 0%, not 1%. They even raised the $700 million won't be enough. It needs billions per year immediately or forget it. And it says, unfortunately, humanity's future is in the hands of, and they are doing a lot more than this. Wow. Okay. Forward. Okay, it's from Elon Sam Altman. So now this one's Sam Altman, Ilya, and Greg Brock. So these three are really pretty entrenched in this. And this is 2016. So, okay, congrats on landing the Falcon 9. But I presume you realize not. There are many good arguments. Why the approach you're taking is actually very dangerous. Some of the more obvious points are well articulated in this blog post. I'm sure you've seen. Also, consider it. I'd be interested to hear counter arguments. Here's something from Ilya. To Elon and Sam and Greg. Sam with hard takeoff scenario. If a hard takeoff occurs and a safe AI is harder to build than an unsafe one, then by open sourcing everything, we make it easy for someone unscrupulous with access to overwhelming amount of hardware to build an unsafe AI, which will experience a hard takeoff. As we get closer to building AI, it make more sense to start being less open. So again, Ilya with this less open. The open AI means that everyone should benefit from the fruits of the AI after it's built, but it's totally okay not to share the science, even though sharing everything is definitely the right strategy in the short and possibly medium term for recruitment purposes. So he's saying to keep the hands close. And then Elon says, yup. So this is, you know, I like this. I always find these dynamics very interesting. Very, very interesting to see the dynamics, the players, the key players, the who's who, the conversations, the thought process. I think that's very interesting. The other thing that we see the AGI, and that raises the question, do we have AGI already? Because they're talking about this in 2016. And do we have it? Is it behind the curtain? Does it exist already? Is it being prepared? Is it being tested to be launched? Are we close to AGI? How close are we to AGI? And is it a danger? You know, so is there a danger with AGI? I think when you read about these dangers and you read about these challenges, I think that adds another level to it. And you get the sense Elon has these concerns. So you wonder, what are these concerns? Why are they having these concerns? The focus is the AGI. So it makes you wonder where we are in this entire space and how far are we from AGI? You know, if it's not already existing. So the idea is that once we get the general intelligence, then the general intelligence should be able to improve itself. So if it can improve itself, then the next move is the super intelligence. So once there, you have this intelligence, it can make itself better. But so it adds so many questions to it. I'm not going to go over those in this video, but I wanted to share the emails, the tea, as they say, and really talk through that, see what you think. So I'd love to get your comments, your thoughts on this, and understand what you think about what's happening and what these conversations, the lawsuit, what do you think is going to be moving forward? I anticipate, I mean, we've got the lawsuit. We've got, I mean, this year, we've got Claude 3 is already out there. You've got Gemini Pro. We're waiting for it. That's supposed to be the chat GPT-4 killer. It's already saying Claude 3 is better than GPT-4, which is the gold standard, which has been the gold standard. And if you think about this for a year, not even a year, that's amazing. So then what's coming? What is the answer? What is OpenAI's answer? Everyone is waiting for OpenAI's answer. Is it going to be GPT-5? Are we going to see it? What will that look like? You know, do they have something that is just going to just blow everything out of the water? I anticipate they do, and we'll see it soon. The other thing is I recommend my take is that with this being technology agnostic is going to be paramount. And what do I mean by that? Meaning, because things are changing so fast. So there's two sides to this. Things are changing so fast, it's hard to keep up, right? But you've got to do your best to keep up with the changing AI, the changing platforms, just the whole environment, the workspace is changing. The good thing is that, and what I'm noticing is that it's changing, however, it's changing more of the same. So it's changing, but it's not changing. What do I mean by that? So we've got GPT-4. So we've got the different levels. We've got the teams. We've got the enterprise, the pro. Now, the features on the most up-to-date GPT-4, they have the vision. You can upload documents. So you have these features, right? So you have the vision, you can upload documents, now it can talk, right? With Claude 3, the updates, the features are similar to the features with OpenAI. So you can upload documents, there's vision. So you have those features. Same thing with what we saw with Gemini Pro. You know, so you can upload documents, the vision. So we're seeing these updates coming, and they're coming fast. However, if you look across the platforms, they're updating, but they're updating in a way to kind of follow. They're doing kind of the same thing. So I think with being, which is a good thing, because now you can say, well, okay, Claude 3 is doing pretty, you know, for the most part, the same things as GPT-4, right? So it's not too far off from the two. So now, you know, you can start building the same thing when you go to Gemini Ultra. You can start building skills. So you know how to upload images, use vision, prompting. So you searching text in documents, uploading documents. So you know how to build these skills, and then you can take them cross-platform, right? So at this point, and we don't know we know Sora is coming. So the assumption would be, you got Sora coming, OpenAI, then Claude, and then Gemini will follow suit, right? So, and one may be a little bit better or greatly better than the other. So then, now you're just competing for which one is the better one. Now, so you can build your skill set, and the good thing is, okay, if you've built your skill set and your workflows with OpenAI, it wouldn't be hard for you to move to Anthropic or Claude 3. Same thing with Gemini Pro or Copilot, et cetera. So that's the good thing with the change. Hopefully, unless we get to a super higher level or of, you know, we don't know what's coming, or if a model comes out that is just so far ahead, what's going to happen is, one, you know, the changes will be, there'll be these updates where it'll still be, you'll still have the same context window, but okay, Claude 3, you can upload 800 more words than you can with GPT-4, you know, and then GPT-4, they come back and now you can upload 1,000 more words. So it's these incremental changes, which we can hope that's how it'll move forward. So the other good thing is you can stick to a particular platform. So I'm OpenAI Teams all day. So I'm at OpenAI Teams. I've seen the updates with Claude 3. They updated the features to it's the same as OpenAI or GPT-4. So there's not really something that's going to pull me to go to Claude 3 unless there's just a huge leap. Because if Claude 3 is as good as or slightly better, okay. But if it was a gigantic leap, then may, you know, draw me to Claude 3. And at the same time, you know, with GPT-4, you know, eventually there's going to be an update, right? So you know there's going to be an update. The only problem is you don't know what that update is going to be. And I think that is going to be important as well to make that decision to say, well, okay, you got the Claude 3 is a little bit better. When is that update coming for GPT-4? What are we going to see that's going to be new? They did give us a preview with Sora. So I'll give them that one. So we know Sora's coming. But what is the answer to this? You know, why should I stay here? You know, again, there's not a compelling reason to leave because the difference, if it's marginal, why leave? Why change if it's a marginal? However, if it's huge, definitely, you know, I would leave. I'd say goodbye to OpenAI in a heartbeat and I would go to Anthropic. To tell you, for a moment, I was with OpenAI, you know, the plus user. I had the paid subscription to Anthropic. And then, I'm in Teams. What's the point? You know, I'm in my Teams account majority of the day. I'm not using Claude. So why be there? Now there's a reason, but if it's just a little bit better, the features there are matching up to GPT-4. I still don't have a compelling, okay, it's a little bit better, bigger, you know, it's like you've got a car that you can drive 200 miles an hour, and now there's a new car you can drive 215 miles an hour. Okay, now if it's 300, now we're talking. But 215, I'm enjoying the car of God. So I'd love to hear what you think, your thoughts on this. Again, I think that we are in an amazing and exciting time right now. It's just going to keep going and growing. But I do think we're at a point where being technology agnostic is very important. It helps, meaning build your skills and, you know, don't be married to one particular platform at this point, because they're constantly changing. Love to hear what you think. Appreciate you all.
Ice in my
veins. I've been driving this train, years in this lane. There's no stopping this flame, cause I came to the game and I changed it to play how I like, rearranged it to my own domain. Yeah, I got what it takes, made lots of mistakes, taking shots, skipping breaks, feeling lost, feeling great, popping off, singing straight, never stopped, never changed. All the squad here to play, and I've got something to say, yeah. I work hard each and every day. I get lost in the words I say. I don't push pause, no, I push play.